So we're here on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Let's remind ourselves of Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu is of the opinion we call it guilty until proven innocent. So whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, that extends to include Hanah. You can't feed it to your dog, you can't sell it to a guy, you can't get any benefit from it. Now the question is, how did Rabbi Avohu derive that conclusion? So we said the following, that according to Rabbi Meir, when the Torah says in the parasha of Nevela, Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titnena, it was Matir Hano. So from the fact that the Torah in the parasha of Nevela had to be Matir Hano, the implication would be that if not for the Heter Hano, it would have been Osir Hano. So whenever the Torah says Achila, it includes Hano. So Gemara says that works out well according to Rabbi Meir, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when the Torah says Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titnena, it's telling you exactly what you're allowed to do with Nevela. You're allowed to give it to a ger, and you're allowed to sell it to a nocher, but not vice versa. So if that be the case, it could be that the Torah is being mechadish an iser here. That's, if we only had the pasuk of Lo Sochu called Nevela, it would have been limited to an iser achila, and you'd be allowed to have hanah. But the Torah is telling you exactly, restricting exactly what kind of and how you're allowed to benefit. You're allowed to benefit it, number one, by giving it as a gift to a ger, number two, by selling it to a nachri. But no other method of hanah was acceptable. So now we have the following problem. According to Rabbi Avohu, what's the source for the fact that achila includes hanah according to Rabbi Yehuda? It can't be nevela, so we have to find an alternative source. So that's the Gemara that we did on Thursday on the top of Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and the source is Trefa. In the Pasuk in Trefa, it says Lakelov Tashlichun Oso, implying that here the Torah is being Matir Hanah from Trefa, but as far as other Isurim is concerned, the Isur Achil includes the Isur Hanah. And that hence you derive the principle of Rabbi Meir. Now again, keep in mind that the Gemara builds itself on the extra word oso. Oso atamash l'chakelev, v'yatamash l'chakelev shar isurim. And the question is, why did the Gemara need the word oso? Why don't we just learn it from the fact that it says l'chakelev tashlichun? That the Torah felt compelled to be matar hanah, that would itself produce the principle of Rabbi Avohu. So Rashi gives his answer that if we only had Lakelv Tashlichun, we would have assumed that the Torah is giving us a special mitzvah that if you have a Kelev available, then you have to feed the Trefa to a Kelev. And that's the mid of Hakar Satov, because the Kelev was very nice to the Jewish people. That's Rashi's opinion over here, and that's why we need the word Osa. Now again, you get the impression from Rashi that if all things are equal and you have a kelev, then you should feed your trefa to a kelev. Then that's the mitzvah. And that's why, if not for the word oso, we would not derive any conclusions here about Isur Hanah. The Torah is just telling you what you have to do with the trefa. However, it seems from the Minchas Chinuch and others, the Sfasemes, that Rashi doesn't really mean that there's a mitzvah to give the trefa to a kelev. We don't find in any source, anywhere in the poskim, that we have to give our trefas to a dog, to dogs. In fact, the Maisim B'Chol Yom, mochrim trefos v'ein mashlichin leklovim. We don't find anyone who's machmir and says, wait a minute, you're not allowed to sell trefos. You know, a lot of animals are trefos, so you want to be able to sell them. So the answer is, says the Sfasemis, that mi'acher shenichtav oso, once we have the pasuk oso, and the pasuk oso is telling us that there's an iser hamna, also in other cases, I mean not in trefa, then mimelo we understand that there's no mitzvah here, it's just a heter hamna. That the Torah is saying that although elsewhere there's an iser hamna, but here in the case of trefa it's mutav hamna, and therefore go ahead and sell it on the open market. You don't have to give it as a gift to a kelev. Okay. Now, Ad Kan Rashi. Rashi again explains why we need the word oso to east for the Isra Hanoh in other cases, because otherwise Lakel Tashlichen would be understood to be a favor to the dogs. However, there seems to be another approach to this question as to why we need the word oso. And he says the following: Kevan shechachamim darshu pasuk zeh dinim nosafim milvad isa trefa. We're going to soon see in the next line of the Gemara that the pasuk of trefa basode is not limited to an isa trefa. We're going to expand it elsewhere to other isurim, and that's going to be based on the diuk of the word basode. Is therefore, since the word basod is coming as a ribui to include other isurim under trefa, we're going to expand the definition of trefa. Therefore, we cannot use the bakel of tashlichun as a paradigm for all isurei hana, because we need lakel of tashlichun specifically in the case of trefa. And that's because trefa is a reference to kodshim, as we'll get into this down the line. In any event, just to summarize what we've said until now, is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot use nevela as the source for Isra Hanoh. We're going to have to use trefa as the source for Isra Hanoh. But in the case of trefa, we're going to derive it from the word oso. And there are two explanations, two approaches as to why we need the word oso. Why not just derive it from lakel of tashlichun? Rashi says because we would have av, meaning that we're feeding into a dog as a mitzvah. And the other Rishonim are going to learn that if not for the word oso, we need a special pasuk to be matir hana in the case of kodshim. Now, how is kodshim derived from trefa? Right, in the case of trefa, the Torah says, "Ubasar basoda treifel osochelu." So the Gemara darshins in Chulin the extra word basoda. Why does the Torah have to say basoda? Who cares where the animal was found? If you found meat, you know, the animal, whether the animal was in a field, wherever the animal was. So the extra word basoda teaches us what's called Basar sheyatza michutz lemechitzasa. What that really means is that there's no possibility of a heter shechita. Chutz mechitzasa means that it's outside of the bounds of shechita. And what is the case that we derive from outside the bounds of shechita? Again, the simple pshat is that it's a trefa and the animal's going to die, and therefore there's no mechitza for shechita, for heter shechita. But the Gemara expands that to include kodshim. In what case? The case is where you took basar kodesh and instead of shechting it in the azara, you shecht it outside the azara. So you've already taken it outside the mechitzos. And now the Torah says that the shechita itself is not valid. It's not meaningful. The shechita in kodshim has to be in the azara. And he took a chutz l'mechitzasa. So now the basar, this kodesh is asur. Now what's the nature of this isur? And the answer is, it could be that it's an isur kodshim. And if it's an isur kodshim, then it's asur b'ana. And that's what the Torah wants in Mechadish here, when it says, ba'kel of tashlichun oso. Here's another case of chutz u'mechitzasa. You may recall that we mentioned this case last week. You have a mother, a cow, that has a fetus inside of it. You shechted the mother, and the shechita of the mother is mahani labas. It works even for the vlad b'mei ima. But what happens if before the shechita, the ubar extended one of its limbs outside the mei ima, outside of the body of its mother, even if that limb is replaced and it goes back inside the fetal sac, but nevertheless, the shechita is only matir that part of the ubar that never left. But that aver that went out is called basa shiyotza michutz l'mechitzasa. And in the case of basa shiyotza chutz l'mechitzasa, the aver becomes trefa. Again, trefa in this broader definition of trefa, that means anything that's out of the mechitz, it's out of the sada. It's out in the sada, so to speak, without mechitzas. So we have a number of cases. That's why this whole sugya is also brought down in Makkos, because in Makkos we have a principle called lav shebechlolos, when you derive many different isurim from one lav, so you don't get malchus in this case. So basar basad the trefalos ochelu is a classical case of a lav shebechlolos, because it has the isur trefa of an animal that's going to die. It has the isur of kodshim that was shechted outside the azara. It includes the isur of hotzi ubar echad meivareha chutz lemei ima, that also comes on the chutz lemechitzasa. Later on, we're going to have another case of chutz lemechitzasa where you took chulin and you shechted it in the azara. Again, that's a little bit different. There, it's you went beyond the mechitza into the mechitza of kodshim of azara. But all these cases are included under trefa. Sahava, we would have thought that there's a hekesh between kodshim and all these other isurim, and just like kodshim is asur b'hanah, and we're talking about kodshim here as well in the case of trefa, because chutz l'mechitzas applies to kodshim shenishketu chutz la'azara, right? To basar shiyotza chutz basar kodshim chutz la'azara. So we would have assumed that basar kodshim chutz la'azara has the status of Hegdesh, and Hegdesh is asur b'hanah, and therefore we can apply that to all the other isurim that are likewise derived from this very same pasuk of trefa. Is therefore kamashbala, and the pasuk wants to teach me, no, ein adover kein, ela mutar b'hanah. So therefore there's a heter hanah here in this pasuk, but it's not superfluous. You can't prove anything from this heter hanah. Hence we need the word oso as the extra superfluous word. Now all this is fine and dandy according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda could not derive the Isra Hanah from Nevela. Therefore he has to derive from Trefa. But if we go back to Rabbi Meir for a moment, Rabbi Meir derives the Isra Hanah from Nevela. So if he derives the Isra Hanah from Nevela, he doesn't need the word Oso. So that's the Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Meir, Oso. So what do you do with the word Oso? Also, atom mashluch lakelev, the iatom mashluch lakelev, chulin shenishketu bazara. That this pasuk also is coming to teach you that just like the isur trefa of chutz l'mechitzasa applies when you take basar kodshim out of the azara and you sheft it out of the azara, so too if you take basar chulin and you sheft it in the azara, that shechita is chutz l'mechitzasa. Because the Azor is out of bounds for Shechitas Chulin. And now the Torah wants to tell you that in the case where you shechted Chulin in the Azara, not only is there an Iser Achila, there's also an Iser Hanah. And now we have to ask the following question. According to Rabbi Meir, why do you have to tell me that there's an Iser Hanah in the case of Chulin Shenishketu Bazara, when in every case, it's always also Hanah. Every Achila includes Hanah. That's Rabbi Meir, based on Rabbi Avo. I mean, Rabbi Avo is actually based on Rabbi Meir, but the Torah already in Nevela has taught us the general universal principle of Isur Hanah, and all Isur Achilur Asur Hanah. So I should apply that to Chulin Shenishketu Bazara as well, insofar as this is included on the Trefa. And if it's included on the Trefa, then for sure it should be Asur Hanah. Why do I need Oso to teach me that Chulin Shenishketu Bazara is Asur Hanah? So the answer to that question is because the Torah never actually spells out an Isra Achila in such a nusach. Now, the Torah never formulates an Isra Achila with regard to Chulin Shenishketu Ba'azorah. Chulin Shenishketu Ba'azorah is derived from a different drasha entirely. The Torah says with regard to Shechita that Ki Yirchak Mimcha Amokom V'Zavachta, that when you're far away from the Azorah, then V'Zavachta, then you're allowed to Shecht it. Meaning if you're outside the Azorah and we're talking about Chulin, then you're allowed to Shecht it. That's V'Zavachta. But if it's Bekiruv Makom, if you're inside the Azorah, then you're not allowed to shecht the animal. We're talking about Chulin again. And if I'm not mistaken, Mitch, can you correct me on this if I'm wrong? That's in Parshas Re'eh. Let me see if I can find it for you. Oh, here it is. It says, Ki yirchak mimcha amokom asha yivcha Hashem al kechel osim shmo shom v'zavachta, etc., etc., v'yachalta. So the Chachamim Darshan in Kedushin Dafnun Zayinam in Beis Berichuk Makom, when you're far away from the Azor in the Beis HaMikdash, Atazoveach, the Atazoveach B'Makom Karov. And that's to tell you that Behemoth's Chulin cannot be shechted in the Azor, they have to be shechted B'Richuk Makom outside the Azor. Now if he went and he shechted Chulin in the Azor, then it became Asur, because the Torah says as a result of Vizavachta, then Viachalta. But here you had no permission for Vizavachta. You were outside you were inside the Makom, you were Bekir of Makom, not Berichuk Makom, and the Torah says Ki Yirchak Mimchal Makom. Therefore, it's Asur Vachila, there's no Vizavachta Viachalta. But the Torah, notice, never said that you're not allowed to eat Chulin Sheneshketu Bazar. It's only derived from a diuk that the Torah says v'zavachta v'achalta, and v'zavachta v'achalta doesn't apply b'kiruv makom in Chulin Sheneshketu Bazara. So therefore I would have no way of knowing that Chulin Sheneshketu Bazara is Aser Bana. And for that I need a special pasuk also to teach me that Chulin Sheneshketu Bazara is Aser Bana. And now we're up to the Idach. So we finally finished four lines of Gemara today. I mean, it's tedious work here, but at least we're getting a little bit of a picture as to what's going on over here. Now, I have a long footnote here in the Masifta, and he says the following. He says that, how do you derive from the pasuk of Oso, of Lakel Tashlich and Oso, in the parasha of Trefa, how do you derive conclusions about Chulin Sheneshketu Ba'azor? There should be some connection here, some indication that this parasha, this pasuk, is referring to Chulin Sheneshketu Ba'azor. So he says the following, that Chulin Sheneshketu Ba'azor is also a Trefa prohibition. How does it come under Trefa? Because as we said before, the pasuk says Basodeh in the parish of Trefa, which means a place that doesn't have mechitzos. In other words, Trefa is because you went beyond the mechitzos, or to a place that has no mechitzos. And that's coming to exclude anything that's chutz l'mechitzos, like we mentioned before, the ubar shehotzi echad mevreha chutz li meima, right? That's also chutz l'mechitzoseha. Or in the case of Basa Kodshim, they shechted outside the Azor, that's also chutz. So since this pasuk of Trefa is talking about Basar that left its mechitza, then we're going to talk about Chulin Sheneshketu Bazara, because there also the behema left its mechitza. Its mechitza for shechita v'zavachta is ki yirchak mimcha makom. But here you were in the Kiruv Makom, you went into the Mechitza of Kiruv Makom of Makom Asher Bacha Hashem, and therefore it's Trefa. And if it's Trefa, the question is, would it be Mutar Bana or is it Asar Bana? And here, since the Torah never formulates the word Achila, Lo Sochelu, we would therefore consider the possibility that it's Mutar Bana. Therefore I need the word Oso, and that's going to teach me that Chulin Sheneshketu Ba'azorah is Asur Behano. Okay. Now the Gemara says, V'idach. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Again, Rabbi Yehuda uses the Oso to teach me that all Isri Achila are Asur Banon, hence Rabbi Avo. What is the source there for Fechul Shenish Ketuba Zara? And the answer is, says the Gemara, Chul Shenish Ketuba Zara Lavda Oraisahi. Now the whole enterprise here is the Rabbanon. Now what does that mean? So here we have a major controversy. We have a whole school of thought that assume that the Isur Anah is the Rabbanon and the Isur Achila is Doraisa. Right? Now why would the Isur Achila be Doraisa? Because we have that drasha of Kiyirchak Mimcha Mokom Vizavachto V'Achalto. Okay. But as far as the Isra Anah is concerned, since it doesn't say Achila in the Torah, we have no basis for generating an Isra Anah. So you're going to tell me, but it says Oso. But the answer is that Rabbi Yehuda needs Oso for Isra Anah. So he doesn't have Oso for the case of Chul Shenesh Ketub Bazar where the Torah doesn't say Achila. That's the sheet of Rashi that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isra Anah of Chul Shenesh Ketub Bazar is only Dirabonon. But as far as the Isra Achila is concerned, that we saw in the Gemara in Kiddush, we have a full-fledged drasha that it's Osam Achila, that there's no Heter Shechita in the case of ki Yikarev Lecha. You know, it's instead of Ki Yirchak Mimcha, it's Bekirev Makom. So in other words, we're splitting now with regard to Chul Shenish Ketub Bazar according to Rabbi Yehuda between the Isra Achila, which is the Raisa, derived from the Pasuk Ki Yirchak, as opposed to the Isra Anah, which is only the Rabbanon. We'll have to see why the Rabbanon instituted that Isur Hanah. So this is really the sheet of Rashi in Masechta Chulin and Rashi in Kiddushin. And now we come to the following kasha, because the Gemara identifies the Tana who holds Chulin Shenish Ketub Bazar Lav Doraisa as Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds Hamakadesh Isha Bechulin Shenish Ketub Bazar Mikudeshes. Now this is a little bit problematic because we just finished saying that Chulin Shenish Ketub Bazar is Asur Banah, albeit not Midoraisa, but at least Midrabbanan. And we said in the Sugya Liel back on Daf Chaf Aleph that Hamakadesh Mishay Shal Sulamala from the beginning of the sixth hour is Lo Chayshin of the Kedushin. Why? Because it shows the Rabbanan. Once it shows the Rabbanan, it's also Manoah from the beginning of the sixth hour. You can't be Makadish and Isha with it. So why does Gemara say that according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds a Chul Shenish Ketub Bazar Lav Doraisa, you can be Makadish and Isha with it, because she's allowed to have Hanoah from it. Rashi says the Isra Anah is the Rabbanan. If the Isra Anah is the Rabbanan, it's exactly the same as Chometz Mishay Shal Sulamala. He says, "Afilu ma isem nakter abonin heich mekudeshes haroshanina liel chaf alfam in beis Rav Gidol Marav etc. Makadish imishay shalsul mala ein choshin lekedushin." So this leads to the following four shitos in Rishonim. We'll summarize them very quickly. The first shita in Rishonim is that chametz in the sixth hour is chametz, meaning what did the Rabbanan do? They took chametz after the sixth hour, the beginning of the seventh, and extended it to the sixth hour. So they gave the exact identical status of chametz to Oraisa, to chametz to Rabbanan in the sixth hour. Mashenke chulun shenish ketub bazara, if you hold lav to Oraisa, it's a brand new entity. And on a Oraisa level, it's mutter. Now, what does that mean? Let's just think out loud for a second. Are we talking according to Rashi now? Just one second. Lav Doraisa. Rabbanan. No, that's a different sheet. Just give me a minute here. I want to clear my brain. Okay. So there's one sheet in the Rishonim that Chul Shenish Ketub Bazar Lav Doraisa means afilu mirabbanon ein bohem isur klal v'ikar. So here we're saying that lav doraisa means that there's not even an isur achila doraisa, which means that these rishonim assume that if chulin shenish ketub bazar lav doraisa means we don't accept the whole entity, the whole drasha, the gemara kiddushin of berichuk makom atazoveach, etc. Now again, it could be an Isur Shechita. You're not allowed to shechulin in the Azara, but that's because the Kedushas Azara, but it doesn't neutralize the Heter Shechita, and therefore Midoraisa you're allowed to eat chulin Shenishtu Bazara. Now he's going a step further and saying even Rabbanan you're allowed to eat it. Then we have another sheet in the Rishonim, which is the Ramban in Chulin and in Kiddushin. The Ramban is of the opinion that what the Gemara means by Lav Doraisa is that as far as Achil is concerned, which is Doraisa, the Rabbanah never extended the Isra Hanah to Chulin Shenishkdu Bazar. So Chulin Shenishkdu Bazar is Mutter even Mid Rabbanan. And Lav Doraisa means that it's completely Mutter, even Lechatchil, and therefore, when you Makadish and Isha, she gets benefit from the Chulin Shenishu Azar because it's Mutter Banna. Then he has a Shita of the Rashba. The Rashba says that Enochinami according to Rav Shimon Makadish be Isu the Rabbanon Mekudeshes, that the Rabbanon, even in the case of Chometz, would recognize and validate the Kiddushin. And then finally, he has a Shita that Chulin Shenishu to Bazara is Ein Lehem Iker Min HaTorah Midoraisa Mutar Mehem Legamre. I don't know why is that different. I see. The difference between the first sheet that we mentioned and the last sheet is that the first sheet that says the Rabban never asked Chulin Shenishku to Bazar. And Lav Doraisa means Mutar Legamre, both Bachila and Bano. Now we're assuming that Enochinami Chulin Shenishku to Bazar is Asur Bano. But it's only also Anah ben Rabbanon, but Ein lo Iker min HaTorah. In other words, both the Isra Achila and the Isra Anah were instituted by the Takanas Chachamim, and therefore they're creating a brand new Isur. You see, in Brisket terminology, we would say the following, that this brand new Isur is only in the Gavra, but not in the Hefta. In other words, when do we blow up the Kedusha, torpedo the Kedusha? That's only if you give this woman an Isur Hefta, something which is inherently also Anah. But here, here in the case of Chulin Shenishku to Bazara, there was never a Chefta Isur to begin with, because the Torah is Matir Chulin Shenishku to Bazara. The Rabbanan instituted an Isur, but it's only an Isur Gavra. And that's called Ein Lo Iker Min HaTorah. So when is an Iker Min HaTorah? You have a Chefta Isura, and the Rabbanan are extending the Chefta Isura. But here, in the case of Chulin Shenishku to Bazara, they're not extending the Chefta Isura, because there is no Chefta Isura. So you have every single possible, variation here. You could say that Chulin Shenishku to Bazara, according to this Maniyom, is awesome in the Raisa, but only Bachila. You could say that, as far as Hanah is concerned, it's awesome in Rabbanan. And for some reason, that's not enough to undermine the Kiddushin. Or you could say that even Midrabbanan it's Mutter Bano. You could even go as far as to say that even Midoraisa and Midrabbanan it's Mutter not only Bano but even Bachila. You can make a chart here and you can work out all the different variations, all the different possibilities. Now Rabosa, we move on to the Sugi of Gira Noshe. Who's allowed to eat Gira Noshe and who's not allowed to eat Gira Noshe? Anybody? Don't only answer once. I mean,
nobody's allowed to eat Kiddush.
Non-Jews.
Exactly. Non-Jews are allowed to eat Gid Anoshe, and Jews are not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe. In other words, Gid Anoshe, Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael Asa Gid Anoshe. There's Avraham and Achai, which is also to a non-Jew. But Gid Anoshe is mutter to a non-Jew. So now the question is, am I allowed to send a Gid Anoshe as a gift to a guy? Now, giving a gift is an Isur Hanah, but the question is whether Gid Anoshe is also Manah. So according to Rabbi Avo, who says that you're guilty until proven innocent, since it says, Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael, is Gid Anoshe, Achil includes Hanah. Then we're going to have a problem here if we want to send the thigh of an animal to a guy as a gift, if inside the thigh there's a Gid Anoshe. Why? Because I'm having Hanah by giving him a gift, and Gid Anoshe, according to Rabbi Avo, should be also Manah. According to Chizkiah, it works out very well because Chizkiah says innocent till proven guilty. And according to Chizkiah, when the Torah prohibits achila, it means just that. It means achila not hanah. Hanah's mutter. So the Masiv, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he has to find cash on Rabbi Avo. Because according to Rabbi Avo, anything that's also achila, if so fact it was also bit hanah, is varei gid anoshe drachmona omar al kain lo yochlu bnei Yisrael's gid anoshe. Utnan, and yet we have a Mishnah in Chulin, and the Mishnah in Chulin says, I think if you're up to Daf Yomi, this is about this is far in advance, I think. Anybody do Daf Yomi? Where are they up to now? So this is Sadi Gimel. So Samachayim paid Sadi. Yeah, you have another 10 blot or whatever it is. Anyway, so you'll get a little bit of preview. You'll be very. You'll make an impression when you know the Mishnah so well, and they didn't even get to it yet. Is Sholeach Adam? Adam means Yisrael. Sholeach Adam Yerech. He can send the whole thigh of the animal Linochri to a guy as a gift. V'gidah Noshe V'tocha. And the Gidanosh is inside. Now that's not a problem of giving Isur to a guy because he's allowed to eat the Gidanosh. But you have a problem because you're benefiting from a Gidanosh. Oh, but there's another problem over here. You see, when you send a Yerech to a guy, everyone assumes that Yerech is kosher because you did a Shechita on it. Now, if the guy wants to invite another Jew, or he wants to give it to a Jew as a gift, it gets passed on, like a chadgadya here. So the Jew thinks he's allowed to eat it. And yet there's a gidanosh inside. He's not going to realize that he has a problem here. So the Gemara answers, the Mishnah says, they should nikar makoma, meaning the eye could see clearly the gidanosh. As soon as he starts slicing the thigh, he's going to see the gidanosh. So we don't have to worry, first of all, that there are three problems that we've solved over here. Problem number one is the least of all our problems. How could I send a Gidanosh to a guy? The answer is because a guy is allowed to eat Gidanosh, so that's not a problem. Second problem is a little bit more of a problem. How could I send a Gidanosh to a guy? He may invite a Jew, and the Jew will think that there's no Gidanosh there, and we solve that problem by saying that they should nikar makoma, that the Jew will see, hey, there's a Gidanosh, I can't eat it. But the third problem, that's unanswerable. The third problem is, if you're like Rabbi Avoh, that every Isra Achila includes an Isra Hanoah. Isra Hanoah includes even sending a gift to someone. How can you send the Gidanosh as a gift when it's Asur Hanoah? So Gemara says the following. Kasava Rabbi Avoh holds, Kisha Hutra Nevela, He Vechelba Vegida Hutra. The Torah says in the parasha of Nevela, "Lager Asher Tenena, Lager Asher Mishrech Tenena, O Machara Lenochri," whatever it says there, and that's a heter hano in the case of Nevela. Now, included in the Nevela are all the parts of the body. Like, for example, there's chelev of the Nevela, there's gidanosh in the Nevela. So there are many different things that have specific isurim, but they're physically part of the Nevela. And when the Torah says you can take that nevela and you could benefit from it, give it as a gift to a ger or sell it to a nachri, the Torah is including the whole ganze nevela. You don't have to trade. You don't have to start chopping off pieces of the nevela and take out the gidanosh. So the heter of lager asher b'sharecha titnena in the parsha nevela includes gidanosh as well. Now you could ask the following question. I mean, when the Torah is matir hana in the vela, is that an all inclusive heter that applies even to gidanosha? Maybe the heter is on the vela, on the eastern vela, but those parts of the animal that come under other isurim, like for example the gidanosha, which has a shame gidanosha b'fnei atzmo. Maybe it's a separate entity and it's not included in the heter. So the Gemara says that issue depends upon another issue, which is called Yesh Beginim B'no Seintam or Ein Beginim B'no Seintam. Well, let's try to explain what that means. There are two ways of understanding Gidanosha, the nosha, the nature of the Isur. One way is to classify it as an Isur Basar, that the Torah prohibits Gidanosha as Basar. The other way is to say no. It's eitz. It's like a piece of tree, a piece of wood. It's not basar. The difference is that if it's basar, it's really part of the nevela itself. And that's called yesh begidim b'no seintam.
Now we'll try to explain what the origin of this machlokas is. I mean, is there tam and a gid anosh? Is there not tam and a gid anosh? We'll try to explain that in just a minute. But just to get the conceptual framework of the Gemara is saying that if yesh begin benosei tam, then the gid is part of the nevela. It has a din of basar. And when the Torah is matir nevela, then the Torah is matir all the basar and nevela. If on the other hand, hold ain begin benosei tam, and it's also b'toras what? Eitz, it's only an eitz, then it's an iser unto itself. It happens to be located in the body of the animal, but it's not part of the animal al pi din. Again, biologically it's part of the animal, but halachically it's considered a separate iser, a separate entity. So when the Torah was marked in the vela, that nevela is only on the basar nevela, but the gid anosh is not basar because ain begin benosei tam. Now, what does it mean that there's a machlokas where the yesh begin benosei tam or ain begin benosei tam? So that has to be understood. I'll try to explain that now.
If I may,
yeah, please.
This would involve the issue of the goy who wants to give it to a Jew.
Not really. Again, as far as the goy giving it to a Jew, that's not a problem because the Jew will identify the gid anosh. That's called nikar makomo. So we're not afraid that if the Jew picks it up from the guy, he's going to assume it's all kosher v'yosha and just pop it into the oven. That's not going to happen because the gid anosh is obvious; it's apparent to the naked eye. But the question is whether or not the heter nevela in Hana applies to the gid anosh, such that I'm allowed to give a gid anosh as a gift to a guy. That depends on yesh begin benosei tam or ain begin benosei tam. What does that mean? Let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, if the gid has the tam of basar, and therefore it has the same status as basar, so when the Torah is matin, nevela, b'hanah, includes any basar, and that includes even gid anosher, el l'man diyomar, ein begidin benosei tam. And if you look at Rashi identifies it. There's a Rashi, if you count down from the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down, he says, Elikat somos, that the gid is like the bone. You know, the bone has no taste to it. Dehain eats the alma. And if it's eats the alma, it's not basar. And if it's not basar, then lo ishtri b'chal nevela. Notice when the Torah is matar ano nevela, it was only matar ano as far as basar is concerned, but not as far as eats. Upluta begid anosha. It's a machlokas in perik gid anosha. That's an appropriate perik for this issue about whether gid anosha is boss or eitz. So that's called perik gid anosha. Fine. Now we want to ask the following question: what are they arguing about? Now this question is very profound. I'll tell you why. Because the Torah, the halacha in the Masechet Chulin relies on what's called te'imas nochri. So for example, I mean, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but if let's say milk falls into meat and you don't know what the ratio is and whether the milk gave tam into the meat, then you can ask a chef, a non-Jewish chef, to taste it for you and tell you whether he tastes the tam of the cholof, if it's tipas cholof. And the reason why we trust the guy is because he's a professional chef. And we're going to eat what he tells us you're allowed to eat, and then we find out, lo and behold, that he was lying to us. He's going to be fired and sued for damages. I'm just dramatizing it. So therefore, the kfela is afraid to lie, and we can rely on the kfela. Today we might have laboratory tests and stuff that you can find out what's inside food stuff. And we're going to rely on a guy who's the lab technician. And the reason for that is because otherwise he'll lose his job.
Can't rely on 160.
Oh, so in the case where you have no kfela, then we'll be mishayer b'shishin. But if you have a kfela, why go through the whole problem just relying on kfela? There may be cases where you can't figure out shishin. So now we have the case of given. So we have machlokas here with the yesh b'gidin benosei tam. Does it taste like basar? Does it not taste like basar? But why don't you send it to a guy and find out whether it tastes like basar or not? So the Rishonim answer that everybody agrees that ain begidim and no same tam. But the machlok is a different one. And that is because together with the Gid, there's something called Knoknos. What's Knoknos? I'll read to you the Hebrew translation of Knoknos. Gidin Dakim HaHolchim BiOrech HaYerech MiTachas HaBosar MiGid HaChitzon LeGid HaPnimi. So there are a number of different, we have to bring in a picture here, you know, I don't know if you have a picture for us of these Knuknios. Alright, so yeah, for that you need they have a book now that's very popular for those who are doing Daf Yomi. It has all the kishkis, you know, in color, you know, all the pictures that you and I don't want to see unless you have a hard, you know, if you don't have a hard stomach. Anyway, so if you want to look at these pictures, what you'll find is that that connected to the Gid Anosha are smaller sinews or Gidim, Dakim, they're very small, and they go up and down the thigh of the animal, but it's underneath the Basar, the Gid. So there's what's called the Basar Migid Achitzon, and then there's a Gid Apnimi. So everybody agrees that the Gid itself has no taste to it. And even a chef will not tell you that it tastes like meat. It's like bones. But on the other hand, since you have these Knoknos, which have a much smaller kind of a Gid that's underneath the meat, they pick up the taste of the meat. And therefore, Yesh Begidim Minot St. Thomas. So the Machlokas here is whether these Knoknos are part of these Gid, or they're not, or they're part of the rest of the animal. If they're part of the rest of the animal, then ain't begin b'no Saint Tom, because all you're left with is the Gid as a separate entity, which is Eitz Bialma. If on the other hand the Knoknos are part of the Gid and they have a taste to it, so the Isa Gid includes these smaller sinews or Gidim, and therefore it's Yesh Begidim b'no Saint Tom. Others have a different approach. And they want to say that the machlokes is whether or not the knoknos really has a tam. Some say that it's a tam that most people would not taste. It's very subtle. But since you could have a feinschmecker, you know, once in a million, you'll have a person who can taste the meat in the knoknos. That's enough to establish that it's yesh begidin b'nosein tam. Now this issue as to whether or not Gid is basar is relevant first and foremost to the Iser Hanor, because if it's basar, then that's good news, because then the Heter Nevela includes the Gid as well. But on the other hand, Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam might be bad news, because if that Gid gets mixed up or cooked in a pot together with other meat that was kosher, it might generate an Iser of Nesinas Tam. That's if you hold Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam. So I just want to summarize. Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam is a tricky enterprise. It's a kula and a chumra. On the one hand, it's a kula because if you hold Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam, therefore it's basar, and if it's basar, then the heter shkita, I'm sorry, that the heter nevela extends to include the Gid Anosh as well. On the other hand, Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam is a problem in the case of a Tarovas, because now it's going to give Tam Basar to this Tarovas, and that Tam is Tam Isur. In a minute we're going to see the most profound Nafkamina in the case of a non-kosher animal, but that's coming around the bend. So let's just summarize now. How do we know that Gid Anosh is Mutar Mano according to Rabbi Avo? If you hold Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam, then the Heter Nevela Bano extends to include the entire bus of the animal, and that includes even the Gid insofar as Yesh Begidin B'no Saint Tam. El Aman Diomer Ein Begidin B'no Saint Tam Ma'ikal Meimar. What's the source for the Heter Hano in the case of Ein Begidin B'no Saint Tam? It means the Gid is a separate entity. It's not part of the Basar. It's not part of the animal. And therefore the Heter Hano of Nevela doesn't apply to Gid Anosha. So what is going to be the source, according to Rabbi Avo, for the Heter of Gid Anosha? Bahano. How are you allowed to send this Gid Anosha as a gift to a guy? So Gemara answers, Man Shamet Le Diomer Ein Beginim B'no Saint Tam Rabbi Shimon. We're going to try to prove that the originator of Ein Begidin B'no Saint Tam is Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon holds that Gid Anosh is Osir Bano. Now this is exciting. This is good news. Why? Because if you hold Ein Beginim Beno Saint Tam, then the Heter Hanov Nevela does not apply to the Gid Anosh, right? Because we're holding Ein Beginim Beno Saint Tam. Rabbi Shimon happens to be the one who holds Ein Beginim Beno Saint Tam. So if the Heter that the Torah said in Nevela like Ger Hashem Shrechet Tetnena, which only applies to Basar, no longer cannot be extended to include Gid Anosh, because Gid Anosh is not Basar, because Ein Beginim Beno Saint Tam. Do they have no source for the Heter Anosh? Then we go back to Rabbi Avos Klal, that whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, it includes Hanah as well. The Torah says we're not allowed to eat Gid Anosh, we're not allowed to have Hanah from Gid Anosh. And that indeed is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that Gid Anosh is also Hanah. So next time they wake you up in the middle of the night and they ask you, can I sell Gid Anosh to a guy, or give it to him as a gift, you have to tell him it depends on Machlok Shin Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, this machlokas is a machlokas about yesh beginim beno sein tam or ein beginim beno sein tam. Again, that's all according to Rabbi Yavo. If you're like Chizkia, then Gid Anosh by definition be mutar bano. We're going to have a really difficult problem reconciling Chizkia with Rabbi Shimon, because we're about to learn now that Rabbi Shimon holds that Gid Anosh is also bano, and according to Chizkia, what's the source for Nisa Anah and Gid Anosh? Achil equals Achila, nothing beyond Achila. So it works in very beautifully with Rabbi Meir and with Rabbi Avo, but not according to Chizkia. Man Shavat Lei Diomar Ein Beginim Beno Sein Tam. I'm going to try to prove to you that who is the Bala Memra, the Bala Shita, that Ein Beginim Beno Sein Tam? It's Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now. Here's the deal. We want to know whether or not the Iser of Behemoth Tmeo, you have a non-kosher animal that has a gid, whether or not these two Isurim emerge simultaneously. So you can have one Chefta with two different Isurim. It's a Gid Anosh, but at the same time it's Behemoth Tmeo, because it comes from a non-kosher animal. And the Nafka means how many sets of Malkus you get. If you had an Azhara, you have a warning for both Behemoth Tmeah and for Gid Anosh, we can give him two sets of lashes. And that's what we're going to have to do if you hold that this Gid Anosh is a separate entity, a separate Iser. So indeed, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ha'ochel migid Anosh shel Behemoth Tmeah mechayev shtayim. He gets two sets of Malkus. He gets one set of Malkus for Behemoth Tmeah and another additional set because it's Gid Anosh. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says, you're not Chayav Malkus. Oh, why aren't you Chayav Malkus? So it works like this. As far as the Yisrachil's Behemoth Tmeah is concerned, he doesn't get Malkus because Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Beginim Beno Sein Tam. And if Ein Beginim Beno Sein Tam, then Gid Anosh is a separate independent Yisr. It's not part of the Basar, and it's not also the Torah Yisrachil's Behemoth Tmeah. And what about Malkus for the Yisrachilas Nevela? I'm sorry, Achilas Gid Anosh. You should get Malkus for that. Oh, so if Shimon holds that the Torah only prohibited Gid Anosh of a Behemoth Tahara, not of a Behemoth Tmeah. In other words, Rabbi Shimon dashes the pasuk. It says, "Al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael as Gid Anosh," which means Misha Gido Asur Ubisaro Mutter Yatzazu, non-kosher animal. Shegido Asur Ubisaro Asur. So Al kein lo yochlu means you have something that you're allowed to eat, but don't eat the Gid Anosh. That can only apply to behemah tahora. So it's a kosher animal. You're allowed to eat all the meat, but the Torah warns you don't eat the Gid Anosh. In the case of an animal that's treif, there, the Torah didn't say, don't eat the Gid Anosh, you're not allowed to eat anything in the animal. So if Shimon holds that, number one, you don't get Malkus for Behemoth Tmeah because Ein Beginim Beno Sein Tam, Gid Anosh is a separate entity, it's an Eitz B'Alma, and then why not get Malkus for eating the Gid Anosh? And the answer is because it's a Behemoth Tmeah, and Rabbi Shimon derives from the Paschal Kain that the Iser of Gid Anosh applies exclusively to Behema Tahora. Oh, so what do we gain now? We're trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Avo, how Gid Anosh could be Mutar Bano. And it makes sense if you hold is the old Yesh begin Bino Seintam, because then Din Anosh has the din of and the status of Basar, and it's included in the Heter Hanah of Nevela. But if you hold that Ein begin Bino Seintam and it's an Eitz B'Alma, then it's not included in the Heter Hanah of Nevela, it's a separate entity. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon Achinami the Asar Banah, Rabbi Shimon Ein Achinami holds the Gid Anosha, if it comes from a Behema Tahorah, of course, is Asar Banah. The Sanya, we have a Breiser, Gid Anosha Mutu Banah, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Oser. So it makes sense that Rabbi Shimon would hold that Gid Anosha is Asar Banah. Why? Because we're accepting Rabbi Avo. And Rabbi Avo says that anything that Torah asks Bachila is ipso facto also be Hanah. Gid Anosha was also Bachila, and therefore it's also Hanah. You'll tell me that the Heter Hanah of Nevela should apply to Gid Anosha? The answer is no, because Gid Anosha is Eitz B'Alma, it's a separate entity, and Ein Beginim B'No Seintam. And the import of Ein Beginim B'No Seintam is that if you eat a Gid Anosha of Behemah Tmeah, you don't get Malkus from Behemah Tmeah, because it's a separate entity called Eitz. It's like if you would eat the bone of a Behemah Tmeah, hopefully you would choke on it, but maybe we're hoping you would, I don't know. But in any event, you don't get Malkus for that. Why don't you get Malkus for Gid Anosha of a Behemah Tmeah? That's because of his diuk in the Poskal Kain, Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael, meaning that you're not allowed to eat this Gid, you're allowed to eat the rest of the animal because it's a Behemah Tahora. But now that we hold it according to Rav Shimon, Ein Beginim B'No Seintam, which means that the status of a Gid is not that of what? Of Basar, but rather it is Eitz. Therefore, it's not included in the Heter Hanah of Nevela Lagera Shebishrech Titnena. And Ein Achinami, the Brisa records, Rav Shimon is holding that Gid Anosh is Asur Banah. That's the Sugi of Gid Anosh. Mish, you have to go? Alright, so you go, Mish. I'm just going to add one little piece if the Olam can stay, and that's Dam. Now, it's interesting that Dam, the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat with Lashon Lo Sochu. That should depend upon. Now, you want to know whether you're allowed to have Hanah from Dam, it should depend upon the Machlok Shri Rabbi Avon Chizkiya. Because Chizkiya says that whenever the Torah says Achila, it includes just Achila, nothing more. So Dam should be Mutar Banah. But according to Rabbi Avo, holds that whenever it says Achila, it includes Hanah, so Dam should be also Hanah. For a Dam, the Rachman Omer called Nefesh Michem Lo Sochel Dam Usnana. Nevertheless, we have a mission in Yoma that says Elu V'Elu. Okay. The Elu V'Elu is a case of Kodshim. Elu v'elu. There are two types of chatos. Your classic chatos is called a chatos chitzona, which is shechted and all the avod is done on the mizbach chitzon. But then there are very few chatos which are classified as chatos pnimios. All right, so I'll give you a list of chatos pnimios. We have par koi moshiach. We have Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur. We have Seiri Avodah Zarah. That's in the case where the Tzibur violated Horos Bezdin, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned. In any event, we have a whole list of what's called Chatos Pnimios. Now, what happens to the Dam of the Shechita? So it says the following. Elu v'elu. Okay, let me talk to you. Did I ever spoke to you about Shirayim? This has nothing to do with the Chassidus Rebbe, but there's something called Shirayim, meaning that a certain amount of dam has to be sprinkled on the Kronos of Mizbeach, and or Kenegida Kronos, whatever the dinim are, and whether it's one matano or four matanos, again, those are all sugyos in Zvachim, but the remainder of the dam needs what's called Shficha. Shvicha means we have to any the remaining dam in the mizrach in the klisharis, the receptacle has to be poured onto the yisod hamizbeach. Now, this is true even for chatos pnimios. It's very fascinating because most of the avod is done inside the heichal on the mizbeach hapnimi, but the shirayim you have to take out of the heichal and pour it onto the yisod of the mizbeach. Ha nechoshes, or the mizbach ha chitzon. Now what happens is, all this dam, whether it's dam from a chatas primis or dam from a chatas chitzona, gets mixed up in the yesod, and it goes down to a place which is called the ama. And what does that mean? The ama is called an emas mayim, and that would be sort of like a tunnel that a liquid would flow into it, and that tunnel was located in the Azara, and it was on an incline, so it would go down through this ama and it would go out to a place where they would sell it. It would collect it. Now why would you sell dam? And the answer is because it's very good fertilizer. So people would pay a pretty high price for serious volumes of dam. Now, between all these chatos here and all the dam that's getting mixed up, the chatos primios and the chatos hachitzona, it comes out that there's a lot of dam here. And where's this dam collected? So again, there's something called the Azora. There's something called the Ritzpas Azora. And in the Ritzpas Azora, there were two Nekovim. There were two holes. And the dam would flow through these two holes. And Misarvim Be'ama. All these Domim, both from the Chitzon and the Primus, would get mixed up in a Tarobes. And they would go down to this Emas Mayim, this tunnel, this furrow. And that furrow would lead you from the Azora all the way out to a place called Nachal Kidron, which was outside of Yerushalayim, and there it was sold to the gardeners and the farmers as fertilizer.
Jewish
people. In other words, what we're saying is that there's no Iser Hanon Dam. Umolimbo. Alright, this is a bit of a parsha here. Even though this dam is allowed to be sold, but nevertheless, when you sell it, the mos themselves that you receive in payment are mos hegdish. So it means that the status of the dam changes the very moment you sell it. Okay, now this is really interesting, because if we're assuming that there's a heter anor, then you're allowed to sell it. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't have kedusha to it. There's still some sort of vestige of kedusha in the dam. And as a result, the dam itself, once you sell it, the monies that accrue to you from the sale become hegdesh, because of that vestige of hegdesh of kedusha in the dam. And therefore, mal and bal, you're not allowed to benefit from these domim unless you again pay domim to replace domim. Okay, but anyway, that's the Issa Me'ila. But it comes out from here that Dam is Mutar Bano. Now, why is Dam Mutar Bano? The Torah says Lo Socha. How can this Dam be Mutar Bano? And you're allowed to sell it. Shiny Dam, the Gemara says, the Iskash Lemayim. We have a Hekesh between Dam and Mayim. The Torah says in Dvarim Perkid Beis, Lo Sochlu, Lo Sochlenu. Don't eat the dam. Alor, it's Dishrechenu Kamayim. Why did the Torah have to add Kamayim to tell you Mamayim Mutabano, Afdam Mutabano? So we have a special pasuk according to Rabbi Avo to teach me that dam is Mutabano. That's Kamayim. Oh, so the Gemara says, who says that it means Kemayim means it's Mutabano? Emo, perhaps the Torah meant to say Kemayim amisnaschim al gabe amisbeach. Maybe it means like the mayim that we use on Sukkos for Nisach HaMayim al gabe amisbeach, which is Hegdesh and it has the din of Yisrael no? Om Rabbi Avo, Kamayim lerov mayim. Then when it says Kamayim, it doesn't refer to specific mayim, but to the general mayim. The general mayim in the world is Mutabano. So the Gemara asks the following question. Wait a minute. Midei rov mayim ksiv. I mean, if I want to be argumentative about it, it says kemayim. It doesn't say kerov mayim, but maybe the word kemayim here refers to mayim that was sanctified for the purpose of ushafta mayim besoson, for the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim al gabi hamizbeach. And the Gemara answers, midei rov, I'm sorry, el omer avashi, Kamayim hanishpachim. The Torah says in this very same pasuk lo sochlen ola oretz tishpachenu kamayim. So we're talking about mayim of shficha. And what is mayim of shficha? Mayim of shficha refers to mayim mutarim. V'lo kemayim anisachim. You know, there's a difference between shficha and nisach. You know, nisach is al gabi mizbeach, but nishpachim means just throw it out. So since it says kamayim anishpachim, therefore we assume that it's mutar b'ano. Gemara is still argumentative. V'yema kamayim anishpachim lifnei avodah zara. When the idol worshippers worship their idol and they pour water in front of their idol, so that's called nishpachim, right? It's not done on a mizbeach, chas v'shalom. So therefore, it's called nishpachim. So we see that the word nishpachim could refer to mayim that was used for avodah zarah. Now, mayim that was used for avodah zarah is also mano. So Gemara answers, hasam nami nisuch ikri. In the case of avodah zarah, even though you and I might see it with the naked eye, as if they're spilling the water, they're pouring the water, but it's just shvicha, the Torah actually equates it with nisuch. So the word nisuch, as opposed to shvicha, is an appropriate term to describe the avodah zarah of mayim, the avodah zarah that they pour water. Why? Because it says yishtu yein nisicham. And that pasuk is in Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis. It says, "Ashechelu svachemo yochelu yishtu yein nesicham, etc." So, yishtu yein nesicham is a reference to yayin that was used as part of nisuch. So we see that even though the pasuk there is talking about avodah zarah, nevertheless, the word for pouring in the context of worshipping an idol is nesicha, is nisuch. And therefore, when the Torah says in the parasha of Dam Kodshim, it says, ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim, the word shficha would definitely exclude mayim that was used for idol worship, because mayim that was used for idol worship is called nisuch rather than shficha. And if we go back to our premise, means rov mayim, means mayim hamutar b'ano. Now, why did the Torah have to add the word kamayim lechizkio? Lechizkio, and with this we'll conclude, lemay hilchus ha'iskish lemayim. Why do we need a hekesh between dam and mayim? Because the Torah says you're not allowed to eat dam. That means yisrachilu mashba v'lo yisrano. So why would I have a hamina that I need the hekesh to mayim in order to be matar ano? So Gemara answers, "Lichir Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the Yom Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, minayim l'dam kodshim she'eno machshir." This has to do with the machshirim, as far as Kabbalah's tomb is concerned.
As far as what?
Kabbalah's tomb is concerned, there are seven mashkim that, if these mashkim come in contact with a solid substance, that solid substance becomes mukshar l'kabbal tumah. So now, for sure, it falls and it becomes tameh. And on this is an entire mesecta called mesecta machshirim. But how do we know that dam, if it's kodshim, dam is one of the seven machshirim? But if it's dam kodshim, it's not machshir. Shenema lo sochlenu ala oretz tishkenu kamayim. Dam shenishpach kemayim machshir, v'sheino nishpach kemayim eino machshir. If you have water which is nishpach lo oretz, right, is then it becomes a machshir for kabbalah's tumah. But in the case of kodshim, dam kodshim is eino nishpach, and therefore it is not included in mayim, and therefore it's not machshir l'kabbal tumah. Okay, we'll stop over here. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll have a discussion about Eiver Min HaChai. I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great day.